Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
I hope you had a wonderful Rosh Hashanah.
It was nice, even with all going on.
I understand. Thank you for
we told your stories at the table. Malka was able to come, and Brandy came to help me. And my friend that has dementia came, and my daughter. The boys were working, so they couldn't come. You know, they're with their jobs. But Tony wasn't too perky, but he made it. So anyway, it was nice. And we did the final waters. So you were very much part of our celebration.
Prohibition. And hopefully you'll have an easy process next week.
I think so. Today was easy. So, you know, the ritual really helps.
It does. Shall we begin, or?
Well,
or do you
I guess so. I think the others will come. What is it about this time that I always get phone calls? Let's see. Okay, that's the grandson from New Orleans, so Tony will pick that up. It's on the other phone, so we're okay.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm back.
Okay, so we're in section 9 at Pasuk 51. And we'll start with the Lashon and Yehud. This is the parasha of Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. Lashon and Yehud, Kud Shabri Hu, Ishkin Te, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu. Leyakka, Lishem, Yudhe, Bovavhe, the Yehuda, Shalim, Bashem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino, Amadunai Eloheinu, Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu, Kanenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu, Kanenehu. Petach, we amar, Biyad, Kol Adam, Yachtom, Vadaat, For Anshe Maseu Haikira Ukmuha Aval Tahatse Behahu Yoma
Manga
Diat Limu Yomo Divar Nashli Apaka Mel Alma Hahu Yoma Tigufa I Atmar Eat far, the nafsha baya, the eat parsha, mean heya kedain, eat yechayev, the shul levar nash le mechede, ma delahawa, leya reshu le mecheme, the zimna. The gufa shalta, the kaim al boraya yeo. The translation. He opened the discussion saying, he seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he has made may know his work. This passage has already been explained, but come and see. When the days of man are over and he is about to leave this world, on that day when the body is broken and the soul has to leave it, then the person is permitted to see what he has not been able to see when the body was in control, and he understands things completely. my commentary. Who is he, is a question. Is it Rabbi Eliezer? Here is being explained that as the soul leaves the body, it is shown everything it could have accomplished and did not. It is transitioning from a world of free will to a world without free will. That is why we need to resist the impulse to die and realize that we do not have to die, since Hashem values free will. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking of a person that reaches a point, you know, where his body is just so broken. I know, you know, we're always told that we should always have hope, you know, so you'd never lose your hope. But we've seen individuals that just hang on at the end, you know, either they don't want to leave their family or maybe some are even free, you know, afraid to die. I don't know, but you know, their body's just worn out.
But most people who don't study Kabbalah, they are afraid to die because they truly don't have any connection to what will happen. They have no potential understanding of it. And so when the body starts to break down and get, you know, and it's, and they're in a lot of pain, that's when they ask to, you know, they decide to leave the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that's always a free choice decision to make. Even people who get heart attacks, they have accepted their death. They have accepted, they've made a choice to allow their heart to stop. People don't understand that. People don't perceive the world. They think they have no control over their heart or their inner organs. But here it's telling us what that we are capable of choosing not to die. And we are capable of understanding things when the body is broken. That's really the purpose of the body becoming broken, is so that it will stop interfering with what the perceptions of the soul are.
So many people say that, you know, their whole life comes before they pass away. You know, I wonder if that's because they're starting to understand things completely with the word from the Zohar.
It is. That's what this verse is saying as well.
Mm-hmm.
I believe somebody else came on.
Yeah, I thought Malka did.
Okay. Well, we're discussing the Pasuk 51 in the Section 9, Malka.
Okay.
So if there are no more comments or thoughts or questions, I'll move on to 52.
Okay.
Ugein kayamei aleya tilat shalihan tehashvei yomo v'chovo v'koma diavid. The high alma, the who ode al kola, Bifumea Ulvatar Huchatin Alea Pedea Tadahuditin Yad Kol Adam Yitchom. Three messengers stand over him and take an account of his days and his sins and all that he has done in this world. And he openly admits everything. And after that, he signs it, the account, with his hand. As it is written, he seals up the hand of every man. My commentary. This pasuk is clear, yet we need to ask, why does it take three messengers? It is because an angel can only do one task at a time. One to record the sins, one to record the good deeds, and one to record actions that have not been placed in either level. This is my opinion. Also note the idea of the soul admitting everything, and then the body verifies it with his signature. Again, this is my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, with your commentary, that really added to, you know, to the meaning. My first thought before you read your commentary was, who were the three? If maybe they actually had a name. I mean, you gave them an assignment. I thought maybe, possibly, they might be the three angels that visited Abraham when he was circumcised and healing from his circumcision.
Well, it's
if it didn't give us the name, that may mean it's not important.
Okay,
it's the same three angels that came, because the three angels that came to Abraham, one came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That was Gabriel. One came to heal Abraham after the circumcision, and that was Uriel. And Michael came to announce the birth of Isaac. So again, you have these three representing the three Sephirot. And so it's the same idea. I'm just putting it to a level of making it simpler to understand, but it's exactly the same idea.
Yep. Because technically we're saying, I did it. I did these things. when you said actions, that one recorded actions, I don't remember how you put it. I'd wondered if it permits vote that we had not done, had not accomplished in this lifetime. Is that the actions?
You're asking a question, but you broke up. I didn't really hear it.
Okay. If one came to record the good deeds, did you say one came to record the evil deeds?
Right.
Okay. And then I think you said actions not placed, I guess, on the record. I'm not sure if that's exactly how you worded it. But it made me wonder if that meant the actions were mitzvot that we had not accomplished, that possibly we could have accomplished, but we didn't, or we chose not to.
That's
or maybe
correct.
We didn't have the opportunity to either. You know.
Well, we had the opportunity, but we didn't take it.
Okay.
Or we had the opportunity occurred, but we didn't even recognize it. But all of that is because, remember, before you come down, you're shown this movie of what you're going to accomplish.
Right.
But that's all in potential. It's not that you will do everything that was recorded, that is the potential. It would be great if we did, but then we would, you know, there wouldn't be any free choice in that process. The potentials are there, but we have to do them in order to manifest them. And so at the end of your life, you're going to evaluate, well, I did these good deeds, I did these mistakes, and here were the things I could have done but didn't do.
Well, I tell you, I like making lists of things I have to do for the day. I think every time I do that now, I think of this bazook.
Should I go to 53?
I believe you'll be okay. The account is capital letters, but I think it pretty well told us what the account was, so I think we can go on.
It's the accounting of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's really saying is, if someone is still alive, but at the end of their life, how would they describe their life? What do we accomplish? Do we bring children? Did we, did we earn so much money? Did we build such and such a business? Did we work for somebody in a capacity? How would you describe your life? What is important? What is truly the priority? And the angels coming are telling you the priority is the mitzvot. The priority is good deeds. The priority is not to make mistakes. That's really what the Torah teaches us.
I think I've read too that we're given so many words during our lifetime. And when that amount of words is used up, our time is up. So words go along with it, as well as your actions.
Absolutely. And that's the idea that, did you have mundane talk? Or did you talk words of Torah and those were in that word count?
Mm-hmm. So that was why I was pleased with your teachings and especially the stories, because our conversation at Rosh Hashanah was beginning to begin things about the world. And so I could refocus our attention without bringing attention to it by asking Brandy to tell a story, and I told a quick story, and so it brought the attention back to what I considered spiritual things. So those stories that you're putting are just really, really good, especially the one about the Baal Shem Tov this week. That was
a nice story.
We stand upon the shoulders of those who come before us, but somehow I always took that to mean mainly your family. I never thought of it as going back all the way to, to the patriarchs and to the sages. Expanded our consciousness there.
Baruch Hashem. When you walk into the synagogue, you're supposed to say I don't remember the Hebrew words, but the curses that Bilam said that were really blessings.
Mm-hmm.
How goodly it is for brethren to dwell together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
right.
talking about?
Yeah.
You're supposed to say that verse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The,
also remember the story. Maybe it was the Baal Shem Tov who, I know it was one of the sages that didn't want to go into the synagogue because he said when he went in, the words were just bouncing all of from wall to wall because the people's consciousness wasn't, you know, toward Hashem. It was just words. And he couldn't stand the noise, which, you know.
But what I was going to say is on that verse, it's broken into three levels. The last, the one for Jacob, the third one is only the last word. But the essentially the idea that we need to have in our consciousness when we say that, the kavanah, the intention, is when you say the first part of the verse, you are connecting to the level of spirituality that Abraham has had accomplished. And then when you say the second part, you connect to the level of spirituality that Isaac had accomplished. You say the last word, you're connecting to the spirituality that Jacob had accomplished. So it constantly reinforces that you're standing on the shoulders of the others. So I will go ahead now with Pasuk 53.
Okay.
Uvideya karho tatiman lemedan leya sahai alma alkadmae yal bitrae al khadde yal atike la itneshe kadminaihu ahidiktiv la daat kol anshe neasehu v'koli nun ovadin da'avad b'hai alma v'gufa v'rucha ha'akena me'yati v'ushpena v'gufa v'rucha ad la'ipop me'alma. The translation: and all deeds and sins are signed with his hand. So a man can be judged for all of his actions in this world, the early and the recent, the old and the new, not even one of them is forgotten. Therefore it is written that all men whom he has made may know his work. Just as all of the actions he committed in this world were together in body and in spirit, so he must account for them while he is still together in the body and the spirit, before he leaves this world. My commentary: there is a famous midrash that explains the relationship between body and soul. It talks of a farmer who hires a pair of workers. One is blind and the other lame, to guard his crop just prior to harvesting. When the farmer returns, he finds the crop destroyed. He asks what happened. The blind man says, "I don't know, I am blind." The lame man says, "I don't know, I am lame and could not get to the birds in time and did not know how to scare the birds away." The farmer punished them both. The body is blind and the soul is lame, since it cannot do actions in this physical world. Therefore, Hashem says that both must agree to what their actions were and are. Both must bear the consequence. Questions, comments, thoughts?
That was really a good analogy. I'm wondering if that's why so many times before a person passes, and they're really low, and then all of a sudden they perk up for a period of time, and then it, you know, then they fall back, and then they pass away.
Right.
And I wonder if that's what's going on at that time.
It is very possible. I haven't read anything like that, but it is very possible, and I am aware of that idea that as somebody's getting ready to leave, they all of a sudden get energy, and it looks like they're, you know, recovering. And perhaps that energy is for the purpose of recording what they did during their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice thought. Malcolm, you're a little quiet tonight.
Yes, sir. Just had a difficult day. Just difficult day. Just lots going on.
I understand. I'm not putting you under pressure. I'm just making a comment.
Just figuring out things. We had a gentleman that passed away that was in our office. He was 60 years old. And it's an appropriate lesson, very timely. So we're all dealing with that.
Understand.
And,
I'm sorry for your life.
Yeah, it's a sad thing. It's a lot of heart issues. And just lots of changes at work, you know. Kind of work
yes.
through and all that, the mental side of it. So, I am quiet.
Not a problem. Just remember that this is a time, as difficult as it can be, is to remember to be happy during these seven
yes.
days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Right.
To strive to remain happy. It's okay
yes.
to feel the pain of others, or even to feel your own pain of loss, but don't forget to be happy at the same time, because you can be sad from the pain of losing someone, and at the same time be happy for something else. That is the beauty
wow.
of our physical world.
True, and I see death different than. And some of the, well, most of the people at work, you know.
Sure.
I see it.
Once you study reincarnation, you have to see it differently.
Right. I see it totally different. But, you know, you can't express yourself in those tones. They would think you're absolutely nuts, you know. So I just see it as a release from his body, you know. His body was broken, as Hannah said. And,
right.
you know, I see it as a joyous thing. But again, you can't say that just to anybody, you know, that doesn't study, you know, the Kabbalah or Torah for that matter. And so it's kind of like they look at you like, well, why aren't you so upset? I am. But, you know, I just see it different. Oh. Just dealing
finding
with stuff like that.
Express, finding a way to express the pain you feel for the people who have lost and who don't appreciate the release of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult thing to do. You know, that's why you hear the code words, I'm sorry for your loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a way of expressing that you're feeling their pain.
Right.
And feeling the pain of another is a very difficult thing to do. If we mm-hmm. learn in one lifetime that how to feel the pain of another, that is a very, very much making your tikkun for that lifetime.
I think you feel the pain when you've experienced it yourself, you know.
Right.
What that does, Hannah, is when you felt the pain yourself, and now you have somebody else who's come into that situation, what you're really doing is going back into your own pain. You're not feeling their pain.
Right.
You have some empathy with it. You have some sympathy with it because you've experienced it. But feeling the pain of the other is something that's very different than that. And that's why I say it's very difficult to achieve that level. A good example, and unfortunately it's a horrible example, we all know women who have stayed in marriages because of their physical and emotional and even spiritual limitations that are put on by the husband. And yet they know they should leave, and yet they can't leave out of fear or out of the tikkun is not over, whatever level of understanding we achieve. How to feel the pain of that situation, how to understand, why don't you leave? But I know you can't leave, and there's a reason why, and I understand. I feel that tension, and that the word tension, it really doesn't describe it, but I feel that tension between what you know you should do and how you are unable to do it. That is feeling the pain. And that's just an example. And I said, it's not a good example because it's such a horrible example. But we all have read stories. We all have heard it. We all may know people. But do we really truly feel their situation? Are we capable of putting ourselves in their shoes? Come in. We're out of time.
Okay.
So tonight is questions and answers, and if there are none, we'll do a Tikkuni Zohar class. We need to do that anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Shalom.
You. Shalom. Bye, Malcolm.